Hey, what's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Bailcast.
I'm Bart.
I'm Gio.
And I was listening to Elon Musk on Joe Rogan.
The first one or the second one?
The second one.
Fuck yeah.
And he, why fuck yeah?
Because I know what you're talking about. Because I'm only like 40 minutes into it. So I feel like I'm in the in crowd. Like, I'm like, fuck yeah, let's talk about it.
So yeah, he was talking about how he wants humans to be the first interplanetary species.
Yeah.
Right. And then so he was just like, I'm like, well, first of all, that's fucking crazy. But second of all, when I was thinking about it, I'm like, would I ever want to travel to space? Would you?
Dude, I was thinking the same thing.
Would you want to?
I feel like everyone listening to that podcast was thinking the same thing. I don't know. Like, I'm not an early adopter. Like, okay. That's not me. I like to look at the early adopters and be like, are they going to survive?
See,
are they
going to get the spaceship explodes first?
Exactly. Right. Are they going to get duped? Like, what the fuck is happening? And yeah. I'm an observer. And then once I see that they're doing all right and it's been happening for a few years, then I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. I'll try it. Like, I'm just not that person.
Yeah.
But then like hearing him talk about how, like, you know, they're going to terraform and like, did you get to the part where he's talking about how they would just create like a little sun?
Yeah.
And then Joe Rogan's like, what? Like, what the fuck are you talking about creating a little sun? So there's just a lot of things that we need to sustain life on any planet that we go to, right? And like, he's saying like, you know, what if like we just don't have any more vitamin C? That's it. Then we're fucked. And I'm like, fuck, for 2 years, you can't get vitamin C because that's how long it takes for that window to open up again for you to be able to get there.
Yeah,
and I'm
crazy.
Like, I don't know if I care for it that much.
Yeah. Do you think there's levels to it too? Like, maybe first off, you got to start off with like maybe a hot air balloon, you know, and then kind of like maybe work your way into skydiving and then kind of work your way into space. Or do you think you would just go straight to space? You think
that's a really good question. That's a really good question. Cause I don't think anything can really prepare you for spacecraft or like orbit travel than just a rocket ship. You know, like, I don't think hot air ballooning would prep me for that.
But I think for me, because I do see it as a scale like that, I don't think that's why I would go. I don't think I'd ever go to space.
Why?
Well, because I feel like there's all these other things I already haven't done yet. And already those things don't quite interest me that much.
Like what?
Like hot air ballooning. Actually, that's kind of pretty interesting.
Yeah,
actually.
I was like, what the fuck? I want to do that. It sounds really cool.
That seems pretty cool. But like, you know, like bungee jumping or skydiving. I don't know. I just feel like leaving the ground doesn't seem that interesting already. So I'm like, and like it, the way I'm seeing it, it's you're leaving the ground for more and more extended periods of time, right? Hot air ballooning. I don't know, 30 minutes, an hour. I don't know how long it is. Helicopter, airplane, skydiving. And it's just longer and longer. Now you're like getting into the atmosphere. And I don't know if it's gonna like, what kind of jollies I'm getting off by getting into space.
You're not curious about what that feels like, what that looks like, experiencing that? Like, there's no FOMO for you?
I don't even have FOMO with like, you know, some people, they're like, oh, I got this buddy. He's a pilot in the Navy. I can go on his fighter jet, you know?
And you would have FOMO for that.
And we would have 360s in the air.
Fuck off. That sounds tight as fuck. You would not have FOMO for that if he said, I have a friend.
I don't think so, because I did have a couple friends, and I never was like, oh, let me go in your fighter jet when it's flying. I might want to take a selfie in front of it. I don't know if I want to go inside and potentially throw up and pass out.
I think I'm down for that.
Really? To experience like fucking 5G?
Fuck yeah.
5Gs?
Fuck yeah.
Really?
Fuck yeah, I'm into that. Yeah, that'd be fun as shit. Like, when else can you do that?
Have you ever gone skydiving?
No, I've never. You know I haven't. We've been together for like,
I don't know, just in case. I don't know. We've been.
You don't know what kind of life I
live.
We've
been long enough where you start to forget.
Fine, I'll give you that.
Because I think up to a certain point, like, you better know me like a book, right?
Yeah,
and then, yeah, we do. But then when you start having volumes like Game of Thrones, you kind of forget what happened in season one.
Okay, fine. No, that's fair.
So like, I don't know everything about you anymore.
Oh fuck. Are we like going to start dating all over again?
Maybe.
Are you going to trick me into being with you a second time?
Yeah.
No, I've never been skydiving. I never really pursued it very much either.
Why not? If you're such a jet person.
I think because I've been so focused on, I feel like that just wastes so much time. And I think
what does? being in the air for 60 seconds.
I know, right? The whole prep of it, because it has to be like the perfect conditions. There can't be any clouds. Like you go up and if it's too cloudy, then you can't come back down. So then they bring you back
in
down.
In LA, it's the perfect conditions almost every day.
I don't know. I never really pushed for it.
People
for
hit like 5 to 6 jumps a day in LA. The people that are really trying to get like, I don't know, some sort of crazy certification.
Well, we don't have it in LA, but San Diego, yeah. But no, I never, I don't know. I think I'm down for it if other people are doing it, but I don't think it's like my must have go to type of thing.
So is that your take on space then? Maybe if other people are down to go to space, you might go?
I don't know. I'm really curious about space.
You are?
Yeah. Not as much as I am the deep
ocean. Yeah.
Like I'm way, like if they started doing that, I would still wait a little bit, but I would.
What do you mean? They've been doing it, scuba diving?
No, like where you can go to the bot, like that fucking James Cameron type of depth.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like, there's levels to it, isn't it? There's like you start off with maybe snorkeling. You go 2 feet deep, right? And then you're like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Well, I want to be encapsulated. You know what I mean? Like I want to be in a protective bubble. So I don't want my own body fucking just exposed to the elements like that.
Wait, so you're telling me if you're, okay, wow, we're so opposite. Because what you're saying is if we go to space, right? And then once we're there, they're like, all right, guys, for the VIP package, we can put you guys in astronaut suits and we can actually release you from the spaceship with this tether cord.
I'm not trying to do that.
That's the, if they marketed with that, I would actually sign up.
Why?
I don't want to be in a giant building floating in the air.
Where you're safe as fuck?
I'd rather be in an astronaut suit and then take the ultimate selfie.
That's pretty good. But I'm too much of a pussy.
Imagine this fucking.
That's sick. Your phone would fucking just.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? The phone won't even work. That's crazy because the phone is designed with gravity in mind to work. That's insane.
In your imagination, it's a selfie, but like they have cameras. You would get your picture.
But that's what I would want. If I could float around in space and do that, like, you know, the MTV Moon Man like shit.
Yeah.
That I'd be down.
That's pretty cool.
But like, just being on like, I don't know, some sort of Star Trek type of fucking.
Yo, take thing. It easy. I'm into it, all right? Don't fucking be so harsh on my wants.
What do you mean?
Because you're like, you know, just being in a, you know, just being in a building.
It's
fucking
weird.
Whack. I'm like, hey, well, I want to.
Unless.
Okay.
How long did they say your journey was? They say it was like 6 months, right? If it was a floating casino.
For 6 months? You got to be kidding me. No,
like,
you're not down.
If it was like the Bellagio. And it was in the air. You know, like cruise ships are
kind of. 6 months, baby.
Cruise ships are almost like a floating casino already.
I know. And I got over it in like a day. I'm like, been there, done that.
Well, we got over it because that thing is rocking all the time. Right. But remember finally when we ate at that Italian restaurant with David.
There was never a finally for me.
And we're like, oh, wow. When you pay for food, it's actually way better than the free food.
No. Well, because you're comparing it to trash. So it went from a negative 10 to like a negative 3.
And the free pizza was good.
That was all right.
You gotta admit, the free was good.
You're comparing it to a negative 10.
No, I'm comparing it to like some of the best pizza.
Shut the fuck up.
In LA.
You're, what? You're being ridiculous right now.
And the ice cream bar, and it's free? That's insane.
You sound funny. No. Yeah, no. I would go to space. I do want to be in a building. I would go in the deep sea ocean. I do want to be in a building.
What about space do you like? You don't make any sense.
Literally what the rest of the world fucking likes about space.
Like
the
aliens?
Unknown. Hey, we don't know that they exist or that they don't exist. But yeah, let me see some shit. I want to see my planet.
What about it? What's the about
space? Literally everything.
Tell me one thing.
I want to see just fucking what the stars look like closer. I want to see what being away from humans and technology and just floating in this darkness feels like. Like, when have you ever experienced that?
All of those things. I'm like, how come you don't baby step anything? Like, we can get a telescope. We can see some shit. You want to be in darkness? We go sensory deprivation tank. There's so many fucking baby steps for what you're trying to experience that like.
I'm not trying to experience anything. You asked me if I would be down.
Okay,
but
so
I'm not
I'm
trying
saying,
to experience
the things that are attracting you, the things that are attractive to you. It's like you just want to go straight to a ghost pepper.
Of course, because that's epic.
Try the sriracha first.
That's some pussyfooting. I don't want to do that. Like, just fucking throw me in the fucking water already. Like, let me fucking experience it. I don't want to prep for it. It's like when you stick your toe in the water, and you're like, oh, it's too cold. And now you get in your own head. Yeah. I'm just like, just fucking jump in. Shut the fuck up.
What are you trying to jump into?
space.
Just 6 months of just doing the fuck same shit.
Let's do it. And I'm sure there's going to be some sort of preparation.
All right. Well, me and Tyco will drop you off then. I'll drop you off at LAX and say,
why do Lisa? I feel so judged when it was such a fucking, it was such an innocent question that you had. Nah. I didn't know it was a test.
No, it's not a test, but I just thought you had better reasons of why you wanted to go to space.
It's fucking space. What other reason other than it's the fucking space? Are you, what better reason can there be?
Because we can lay in our bed and I'll turn the lights off in that space.
That's not space.
What is
We're
that?
Still in this atmosphere. What are you talking about?
How are you going to, but you're still going to be in some sort of thing outside of the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's tight. It's like when you go, it's like you can see the Eiffel Tower from the outside and be like, whoa, that's really big. Or you can climb all the way to the top and then see it from a different point of view. That's what the fuck I want.
Yeah, but you're in the Eiffel Tower.
And that's sick as fuck.
But in space, you're not in space.
You're literally in space.
No,
what are you talking about?
You're still in a building in space. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're still in the fucking Eiffel Tower.
No, what I'm saying is this. When you go scuba diving, right? You're like 100 feet in the water, right?
I'm told right, you, I'm right, a right. pussy. I want to be protected.
Your hands can touch a starfish.
I don't want to do that.
That's what I'm talking about. You're trying to be encapsulated. So you're still-
Why you got to judge me?
You're still in a capsule.
And that's okay.
But then you're not in space anymore.
I'm literally in space, but my... literally in a thing that's in space, and that's enough for me.
Okay.
And that's what I want, because I want the security of knowing that I'll be able to come back if some shit happens.
Well, what about... Okay.
So the person...
It's going to take 6 months to get back.
Right. But I'm not going to fucking disintegrate if my body's just out there and there's some malfunction in either the fucking... the suit... Yeah. Or some technology. Like, I feel like my probability of surviving in a building, as you call it, is way higher than me being exposed to everything. I'm like, bro, I'm still trying to live. I'm trying to brag to my friends that I went to outer space and they didn't.
What about the
get heated, goddammit.
What about the airplane that goes like this? You know what I'm talking about? The one that goes like this?
A roller coaster?
No, there's an airplane that it hits the exact parabolic route where you get to feel weightlessness.
What about it?
Would you be down to do that?
Is it here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whatever, like whatever I got to do to get there, I'll get there. Like I want to get there. Like I want
to
try.
No, I'm talking about this. This is like a baby step to it.
I don't need baby steps is what I'm saying. I don't want baby steps. I just want to do it and get it over with.
You're just going to get punched in the face.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know if you know what you're asking for.
And that's okay. And I think that's just part of the whole experience that I like. Because then once I have an idea of something, then I start getting in my own head and I'll start finding ways and excuses not to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like when I got my first tattoo, everyone's like, ooh, it's going to fucking hurt, this and that. You should start small.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, I'm going to get my whole forearm just kind of done.
Fine. Me and Ty go to drop you off then.
Cool. I didn't know I was going to be judged. Don't ask me any more questions.
I mean, you're not going to be judged. We're just going to be waving by.
No, you already judged me this whole fucking podcast right now.
Yeah, that's true.
You're rude. But yeah, I want to do that.
You don't judge me? You could judge me back.
Yeah, but I want to make you feel bad right now.
Oh.
I don't even care that you judge me. But yeah, I do want to do that in outer space. Because I mean, did my parents have the opportunity to do that? Did their parents have the opportunity to do that?
It is once in a lifetime for our generation. Yeah,
exactly. And if I'm like old as shit too, I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to go any day anyway.
So if it becomes a commonplace thing, where it's regular, kind of like how we have flights, then you'll be like, fuck it, I'll do it.
It doesn't have to be that common, no. I just have to see a round of like a few groups of people going, okay. and it's pretty sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to be a late adopter.
Yeah.
Like I want to be at like the peak of it.
I see.
I don't want to be too soon.
You don't want to be, you want to be before mainstream, but after adopter.
Yes.
For early adopter.
Yes,
I see.
I want
that. That makes sense. That's where I like to be for everything, actually.
Yeah, same. So that's why I would try it, because it's like, how many people fantasize about space? How many people glorify it and have apps and are just like, they daydream about it? And I'm like, fuck, I actually have the option to do that now. Like, my mom will never know what that feels like.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's fucking epic and I want to do epic shit.
Yeah.
And I don't want to babyfoot it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll do whatever training you want me to do, because I mean, I don't want to throw up everywhere and fucking... I don't know, kill myself while we're taking off.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing's going to replace it. Nothing's going to prepare me for it other than the literal preparation for it.
What about the dunk tank thing that I want to do?
What is that?
Remember I was telling you, like, I found this like class where like they'll strap you into an airplane seat and it's a cutout airplane, and they dump it into the pool, and then they spin it around and to simulate like a crashed helicopter or a crashed pool, and then or a crashed airplane, and then you have to get out of there and swim to the surface.
That's pretty cool.
Would you be down to
that? That's pretty cool, but I don't think I would do it for the sake of preparation for outer space. I think I would do it just to see if I would how I would react in a high stress situation.
That's what I mean. I'm not using it as like a stepping stone to the other one.
Yeah.
It's just that you're saying that, you know, like you're trying to take advantage of what's being offered in our generation.
Yeah.
And they have stuff like this. You would do that too?
Yeah, I would do it.
Come sign us up for classes.
Yeah. There's classes?
Yeah, it's a class. Like you got to get certified. Like I think like different type of pilots or whatever, they got to get trained. And then...
Oh, I'd rather just do the pilot training instead of just fucking vomiting all over myself.
But that's the fun part.
No, I think the training so that I can start flying is the fun part for me.
That is pretty fun. But then the other part being like pummeled over and over again in water, that seems pretty fun too.
I don't know if you pitched it. I don't know if you pitched it right.
Oh, I did it. So imagine this. Imagine like...
Wait. Let's stop imagining real quick and let's introduce our first sponsor.
Alrighty, you guys. You guys have been hearing me talk about how important it is to take care of yourself. And I couldn't be more happier than to say that Bulldog Yoga is sponsoring our podcast and they're here to make yoga fun. So it's no secret that we're juggling a lot these days, jobs, families, budgets, and not to mention the emotional baggage of last year. You know what I mean? So it's so important that we take care of the most important in our lives, AKA us, ourselves. We've all heard and read about the benefits, the amazing benefits, might I add, of yoga. So I'm talking about increased strength, better flexibility, improved mental focus, etc. But many of us who have tried it, AKA me, never went back, or we were just too afraid to even try it because of just how intimidating the whole experience can seem. So enter Bulldog Yoga. Bulldog Yoga Online is about taking the intimidation out of yoga and replacing it with smiles, music, and zero judgment. So Bulldog's streaming online classes are available on demand anytime, any place on your schedule. There are choices for all levels, from beginning classes or beginner classes to heart-pumping workouts. And there are a ton of classes or class length options to fit your schedule. So classes range from anywhere to 12 to 60 minutes, all right? And I have just been enjoying just moving. I think that's just so important because it does so much for your day. Like if you wake up groggy or you didn't sleep enough, or you're just grumpy, like getting your blood flowing and just stretching and moving and just sweating, even if it's a little bit, benefits you so much throughout the day. I can't stress that enough. So for everyone listening right now, you're going to get your first 30 days for free at bulldogonline.com. That's bulldogonline.com. Use code BEA for an additional 50% off your first paid month. Again, that's bulldogonline.com, coupon code BEAW.
And we're back.
So let's, okay, imagine like you're being in a perfectly good airplane seat.
Okay.
And then now all of a sudden you have you drop 10 feet, immediate impact, and then cold water everywhere.
Oof.
And then you can't breathe. And then so now your seatbelt's wet, and then now you're upside down. Now you got to unbuckle your seatbelt and then swim to safety. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Yeah, what am I imagining? Oh, just that?
Just all of that.
Oh, cool.
That's pretty cool, right?
That is pretty cool. You know what's funny?
What?
I have like this false sense of confidence. Because like in those scenarios, like we travel, right? And we've traveled quite a bit before this lockdown. And every time I'm in an airplane, I always think of different scenarios. Just in general, I'm always thinking of different scenarios.
Same
like
here.
When I'm in the house, I'm always thinking about like, okay, if someone were to break in from this point of the house or this point of the house, this, what do I do? Where do I go?
Yeah.
So I'm constantly playing these scenarios in my head.
That's great.
Thank you. And I do the same thing when I'm in an airplane and I'm like, okay, what would I do? What's my move? Where are my exits? How do I react?
What is your move?
And as you're telling me to do that, I feel like because... I just feel like I would do good.
Really?
I mean, who knows, right? Because you only know you can only find out the moment that you're tested.
Yeah.
I don't think I would panic because I think I'm not thinking about myself at that moment. I'm thinking about helping you. I'm thinking about maybe helping that grandma or helping people that can't help themselves. So I think I'll distract. I like to distract myself and start protecting other people. And that keeps me like level headed.
I think if I was in an airplane and it was going down, I think I'd be screaming the whole time. I'm like,
when other people take away that emotion from me, like let's say I wanted to scream, but then now I hear you're freaking out. Now, again, I'm trying to protect you and take care of you, where I'd be like, no, 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 it's okay. It's okay. We got this. Okay. This is what we're going to do. Okay. And then I think I would try to calm you down.
Oh, I think I'd be screaming until we make impact. And then I think that's when I'd be level headed a little bit more. But I am going to be screaming the whole fucking time.
Damn, that's really good to know that. Because I really do lean in on you a lot, or lean on you a lot. Because I always try to gauge, because I feel like you're so calm and collected all the time. And I feel like you're such a quick thinker.
Yeah.
That I trust. You're really quick. That I really do trust like your judgment and whatever next steps you're going to do. But sometimes I forget that you're also just human and you freak out and you have your own emotions and you have your own, you know, your own sensitivities to things. And like, I got to stop. I have to tell myself and train myself to stop relying on you so much in that way. So like hearing you say like, you're going to be screaming until there's a point of impact. For me, I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to wait to see what you do. But now I know to be like, okay, no, I got to start strategizing and thinking because he's freaking the fuck out.
Can you imagine being like this? Like where you're facing down, where you're sitting in a chair, but you're like facing like this. And then like anything that you let go out of your hands is flying straight down the aisle.
Yeah, I think I would already start strategizing though. Oh, I think shit. I would already start thinking. Yeah, I'd be like looking around and seeing like who the fuck is the person that's freaking out the most, because that's already a threat.
It's probably me.
I don't think so, because you hold everything in so much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I might even start laughing because I get so nervous.
Yeah.
That's like a tick for me. Like when I get too nervous, I just start laughing because I'm like, oh shit, I can't believe this is fucking happening.
I'm good though, because like as soon as I feel something, like let's say I feel the airplane tipping, I'm going to strap my seatbelt on so fucking tight, because I have OCD too. So I hate being loose. I'm going to strap it on so tight. And then
please tell me. Yeah. All these little cues that you have for yourself. If you could try to remember to tell me these things, because you have great ideas.
Yeah.
But I think because you're so in the moment and you're just so focused that you forget to include me in them. And I'm like, fuck, that's genius. I wish you would have told me.
Well, I thought I'd tell you everything.
No, you don't. You tell me after, you're like, oh, that's why I do this. And I'm like, fuck. That would have helped me.
That's
too.
Why I put on the helmet.
I'm like, fuck. I wish you would have told me.
You know the helmet that I bought two of? That's why I wear one of them.
Where's the other one? Up there, away from you. Why didn't you give it to me? I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. Like even on the, there was this TikTok that we watched of this plane like hitting mad turbulence. Remember that? And someone started recording everyone's reaction. Because I think they probably thought they were going to die.
Yeah.
So they started recording everything and it just sounded so horrible hearing like adults just screaming from like their fucking gut.
Because you can just hear that like they think their life is gone.
Yeah, and they're ending. Going like, ay, Dios mío. And they're praying and you just hear people like crying and like it feels like they just know the end is near.
Yeah.
That's really scary.
It is really scary. What would you do in that? Are you the try to calm the group down? Like, everyone, it's okay.
No.
Everyone calm down. It's all right.
No, not yet, because we're not safe. If there was a point of impact and we're okay, but people are still freaking out, I think at that point, then I can say, look, we're okay. We're alive. But wait, we got to like band together. Not like I can do that. But if we're in the middle of it and me lying and saying we're okay, like I'm not going to buy that shit.
But you need it. You know that? When you're in the heat of it, that's when it's needed the most.
Yeah, but when the plane's going down, I can't say we're okay from my seat. That's not going to do anything.
Yeah, but that's what makes people feel better. We're going to be okay. We're all going to land. And that's when everyone...
Then that's you, baby.
Then everyone's like, okay. And so everyone's just trying to like figure out and muster up some courage to like brace impact and not going...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wished there were like controlled settings that made you feel the type of stress that you would in a emergency situation, like getting kidnapped or being held at like gunpoint with something, you know, like I wish we can sign up for these courses and get tested in that way.
I would say military is probably the closest.
Do you think you're prepared for a lot of these things to happen?
I'm not prepared because there's
You just went against what you just
said. No. I'm fully prepared because I haven't been trained that specialized, right? Maybe if I was in special operations where they do have hostage drills, kidnapping drills, I think I'd be way more, like a lot of probably special ops, Navy SEAL guys, for sure they're prepared for stuff like that, right? Because they've drilled it for like 3 months straight. They know what a hostage situation feels like. They could probably recognize like just the body language of a kidnapper when they enter the room. Like they just see so many things because they've been trained in that. For me, my job didn't require me to be so specialized, so I don't know any of that stuff. But at least in just general military, like general boot camp, you are put in stressful situations. So for example, like in boot camp, you have to get tested for your swim class. So you start with swim class 4. And all you have to do, I think, is like swim across the pool with all your gear. And then you have to do another one where you jump off, like, I don't know, like a 20-foot or 40-foot tower or something like that. And you kind of escalate all the way to swim class 1, where pretty much a drill instructor tries to drown you. And then you have to get out, and not only get out from the situation, but also save them, you know? And then,
oh, right. Because they're not trying to drown you on purpose. They're just stimulating a victim that's panicking.
Except this guy, like, for really some reason knows martial arts and is putting in a rear naked choke in the middle of the water, you know? So I think because of that, being put into...
Can you hit the victim just to calm him down a little bit?
You can try, but he's going to squeeze you even harder.
I think I'd fucking try to knock him out real quick.
I mean, he's going to squeeze you even...
Boom. Okay, cool.
He's going to squeeze you even way, way harder. So like, and I think, you know, when you like experience something in one thing, then you can kind of like extrapolate it and apply it to other things in life.
Yeah.
So I think boot camp puts you in a lot of stressful situations like
that's
that.
That's great.
Where you're able to go, oh, okay, cool. I understand this.
Yeah.
So now I can use this for that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. And I feel like in the military, you are a little bit more prepared than the average civilian.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I mean, who's had someone like a grown ass man
try to drown your ass?
Yeah, that. And then face to like fucking nose to nose tips touching,
yeah.
Yelling at you, like telling you to do shit, screaming in your ear, and yeah. You're supposed to stay calm and collected.
Like who even swims with full clothes and shoes on?
Yeah, true.
You know, that's the only way we swim pretty much is full camis. You jump in, the drill instructor's wearing full camis, you're wearing full camis. Now it's a guy wearing full camis soaked in water trying to drown your ass.
That's amazing.
You know, it's like pretty realistic. You're not going to be fucking... experiencing something like this wearing billabongs perfectly with yeah. goggles and shit,
yeah,
with fucking fins on
and warm water,
yeah, you know, with yeah. fucking a open coconut on the beach waiting for you to drink.
Yeah, one thing I mean maybe this could happen either this year or next year or whatever, but I do want to, I don't even know how I would get this type of training, but I do want to stay calm in a stressful situation. Like what kind of courses can I take for that?
The best, honestly, jiu-jitsu.
Really?
Yeah.
I can see that. Because like right now, like I've been in stressful situations and I've been in emergency situations. And my first go-to is just physical damage. Like that's all I know how to do. Like I just know how to like brute strength my way out of things or yeah. into things if I have to.
Yeah.
But I'm not being smart about it and I'm not being logical with it, where I'm like trying to be like use precision and patience and like work with whatever I got. It's more like, fuck, let's just fucking bulldoze. You know, yeah, like when Meatloaf was trying to kill that other dog.
Yeah.
Like my instant reaction was to stick my hand in his fucking mouth so I can at least release that dog. And I was like, I just told myself, fuck it, you're going to lose a hand today.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I just
yeah.
stuck my hand in his mouth because I'm like, at least he can think it's the other dog and I don't kill this dog.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be, it shouldn't yeah, be yeah, like yeah, that. Yeah. I should have been more calm or like trained at least to be a little bit more calm. And like maybe like pull him off or stick my finger in his ass, because that's what everyone keeps telling me I should have done. But that's where I want to get to, where it's like I become Neo and shit, and shit just moves slow motion, and I'm like, no, we're good.
Honestly, probably jujitsu or any type of martial art, any type of like real martial art that people are pit together,
yeah,
constantly, and that type of like force on force training is part of the martial art. So that's what I think, like Taekwondo or Kung Fu or like some of the more traditional ones.
Doesn't work.
It works, but it's lacking the force on force. So when you're doing forms, it's just you. It's a one direction, right?
And it's more artsy.
it is more artsy, but the main thing is if you're just expressing and it's not like, it's almost like imagine someone that is used to spoken word, that versus a battle rapper. I get to say something and then you say something.
Yeah, you got to be quick.
Now it's different, right? Because yeah. Now you don't, the other person might not even let you finish your train of thought.
Yeah.
So I think that's why with like the force on force type of stuff, like Muay Thai, wrestling, BJJ, that helps you deal with stressful situations. Because for most people, like even a hand in a fist, this isn't even comfortable for most people. You know, they're already like, whoa, like get away from me.
Yeah.
Like the proxemics feels weird. But, and then when you see like jiu-jitsu practitioners, or even like boxers or whatever, as time progresses, you see a white belt. When the white belt is sparring, they're like freaking the fuck out. Like they think their life's going to end. And you see people have been training for like 3 or 4 years. They're just chill. You know, my coach, when I was like choking his ass out, like I'm like literally like this and I'm ready to choke his ass out. And he's just calm and just like, oh, I know what to do in this situation. And I'm like, wow.
Oh, I want to do that.
So now he's able to take that.
Yeah.
And extrapolate that and put that in other situations too, because he's been in so many stressful situations. And what's dope about like jiu-jitsu and stuff like that is that it's controlled. So it's not PTSD, right?
Yeah.
It's not like, boom.
There's blood everywhere.
And then you're like, you didn't build up to it. And you're like, yeah, I'm comfortable in situations, but that's because I had a traumatic upbringing. It's little, small doses of stress, crisis, trauma,
critical thinking.
And then you scale it to a point where you're like, I'm so comfortable in this situation where you are like Neo. You're like, okay, cool.
Oh, bing, I want to do that.
Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah. I want to stay in control of my emotions in pretty much all situations. Like whether that's just an argument or a difference in opinion, a heated opinion. Like I always want to just be in control of my state.
Yeah. And I think what's cool is like, I think your emotions is really good, because I've also noticed like that they're actually different states. Being in control of your body in stress is one big thing. Being in control of your emotions in stress is also another big
what's
thing.
What's you not being in control of your body in stress? What does that look like?
That's most people at the physical part. I think most people, they're actually not in control of anything when it comes to being stressed out. So like a black belt in jiu-jitsu might still be a very jealous person. You know, they're not able to like be level-headed and like, you know, in an emotional environment. Whereas yeah. Someone could be marriage family therapist who sees this, they're a black belt in that. When it comes to emotions and like, and drama, things that don't have physical harm, they might be a black belt. Like, oh yeah, no, calm down. You don't have the evidence for why you think your brother is embezzling. You know, like there's like,
wow, you came up with that hella fast.
Well, I don't know. Just like some sort of like things that really has no physical harm, but can tear you from the inside.
Yeah.
I actually feel like you're really good at that, where like you're emotional. There's like that emotional zen, but someone that is a master of the physical threats.
Oh yeah, I'm fucked.
They might not actually have that emotional zen or vice versa. And I think they both need to be trained to be like true zen, you know, like true zen is like were we watching that one thing with Mike Tyson? Yeah, we were. I think he's reached both.
Wait, give us context.
There's that one thing we're watching with Mike Tyson where I think the guy was talking about how like you're not a true like master of yourself until you've forgiven everyone that has ever done you wrong in the past. Yes. Right?
Yeah, that was a TikTok we saw.
Yeah, and then Mike Tyson,
like a clip of his podcast.
I think. And he was so deep. And then the other guest was like, nah, man.
Oh, it was Favreau.
John? No, that's not John Favreau.
It is. 100%.
Nah, Jeremy Piven.
Are you sure?
I'm 1,000,000%. Okay.
I'm going to look it up. Go for it.
So the guest was pretty much saying like, nah, fuck that. Anyone that has ever fucked me over, I'm cutting ties. And then Mike Tyson dropped like the deepest, the bomb I've ever heard, where he was pretty much saying, as long, he's like, you are not that person's slave. That person's your master because he controls your emotion. He changed you. So as long as you still have negative feelings towards someone that wronged you, they own you.
Yeah.
Right. So when I heard that, I was like,
that's deep, dude.
I'm like, that is, he's a black belt of both the emotional realm and obviously the physical realm, right? Because he's probably been punched in the face 1,000 times, where it's nothing to him now.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's where you need to be.
That's where I want to be. So right now you've been talking about jiu-jitsu. I'm trying to find this clip. You've been talking about jiu-jitsu for so long now that like, I'm like slowly getting there. And I think when we go to Vegas, like I think I want to do it because I love being in control of, oh, you're right. You're right.
German Piven.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
They kind of look similar to me.
They do have the same like facial features or something.
Yeah. Like I want to be in control of myself because that's all I can do. So I just want to be able to, like I even told you the other day, oh, real quick though, before I even move on to that thought, let me introduce our next sponsor.
Alrighty, stop what you're doing, put everything down and pay attention to this because Songfinch sponsored this podcast and this is a service that you must try, okay? I recently just placed my order and I cannot wait to share it with you. So what is Songfinch? With Songfinch, you can create a personalized radio quality song full of details about your life or your loved one or whomever it is that you want to create a custom song for. So as you know, Bart and I are married, so I ordered one for Bart and it was super easy. Like it literally took me, I mean, it really is dependent on how much information you want to share, but they ask you a handful of questions like, what do you love about this person, right? Or maybe I skip some steps. But before you even get to that place, it says, well, what is this even for, right? So I was like, well, I want something romantic because I want to celebrate an anniversary. So then that's when it asks you the question that I'm talking about now, where it's like, okay, well, what do you love about this person? What is your favorite memory with this person? How did you two meet, right? And then like it took me no more than 10 minutes. And I shared quite a bit, let me tell you. So, filled out the information. It's in their hands right now. In the next couple of days, they're going to send me my personalized romantic love song to Bart. And I cannot wait to share it with you guys. So if you have someone in your life right now that just has everything and you're like, what? This person can buy anything. This is the perfect gift for them. Yes, personalize it, customize. This is something that money cannot buy them. You know what I'm saying? So for everyone listening right now, Songfinch is offering $20 off all personalized songs at songfinch.com with code BAEW, B-E-A-W. Visit songfinch.com. That's songfinch.com and use code BAEW. That's B-E-A-W.
And we're back. I was telling you the other day how like the state that I'm constantly, like my just normal state, like I want to elevate that. Because I feel like I tend to find myself in cruise control and I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like I want to be more on and I want to like raise up the levels of what I consider my chill state.
Yeah.
Where I still want to be very much aware of my surroundings. I want to be sharp. I want to be able to like, I don't know, react to something instead of like having it register and then it hitting me a bit and then the moments pass and I'm like, oh shit, that just happened. Like I don't like, I've been noticing that I tend to get into like this autopilot mode or like I feel a little bit foggy and then I'm just kind of like letting life happen and I'm not comfortable in that space anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that thinking is also leading me to this thinking of like, I want to be in control physically and obviously emotionally.
Yeah. I think with jiu-jitsu, like, I wish this is something that I could like, you know how some things you can say the benefits so much that it really takes doing it to kind of, you earn your own insight and you earn why it's so dope.
That's lifting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it's like after you do it, you're like, oh, that's so fucking dope.
It, yeah, and then, it's so applicable and now in
you're
everything.
Like, yeah, now you're like, man, I wish everyone could do it. But then you can
preach it
like crazy, but no one will get it. And so for me, I think, although I haven't really had an extended jiu-jitsu journey yet, just because I had like kids and stuff, but me wrestling in high school, so it's a grappling art, me wrestling in high school and drilling like a grappling art for so long helped me understand already. So I know what the benefits of jiu-jitsu are, like just even body control, right? Like, can I see your wrist?
Are you going to hurt me?
No, I promise I'll hurt you. So let's say I know you're under attack. You're going to attack me. If I have your wrist, right? I already know by controlling this side, just me innately in my subconscious and muscle memory, I know that whatever you're trying to throw at me with that other arm is already nullified by 50%.
Yeah.
So if you hit me like this, just straight up, boom, I'm going to take 100% of it, right?
Yeah.
Now I could take at least 20 punches from that hand all day. And like, let's say you wiggle out of this. If I grab you at least from here, I could still twist your body and I still nullify that side. or I could even just grab your shoulder. So any of these limbs, I can nullify a lot of whatever. And so with these things, like that being part of your subconscious, it's so helpful in stressful situations because you don't even have to think.
Oh, I love that.
You know what I mean?
It's because it just becomes muscle memory.
It becomes muscle memory. So if I'm ever like,
it's like literally how like when you're lifting, you know, like now I'm never going to lift with just my back.
Yeah. So like, let's say we do get into, I don't know, I go to the bathroom when we're having dinner, I come out and you're in a scuffle with someone. I'm like, you know, how sometimes you see people like, you're like, how come there's three police officers and they couldn't separate this one person punching the other? Because they just don't even understand body leverage. They don't understand I can control this person's hips and I can make them go like this, or I can control this person's shoulder, make them.
They how don't much even more know effective would our police force be if they knew some sort of martial art or wrestling?
Yeah, there's so many people like
they would have more confidence in any altercation. They would know how to like
they wouldn't spaz out, freak out.
It's like when you see the professional MMA guys.
Yeah,
when they're like this guy, like a dude's being drunk and belligerent, and they keep getting in their face or they keep trying to challenge them, and then they just kind of go whoop whoop whoop, and then just put them on their back. They're like, yeah, buddy, come on, chill out, and they're just sitting there like not thinking anything of it.
Yeah, or even teachers with like really the kids that have a problem with authority, you know, like at the continuation schools where like the kids are really bad. You imagine a teacher that's like that was trained, you know, like they would just be like, I remember my driver's ed teacher. He was, I think, a national level wrestler in high school. So he's like super high level, and he was just like big and jacked. And usually like the star football players, when they go into classrooms, they run that shit. They know they're going to go in the NFL. They know this class doesn't matter. They can fuck around and sit in the back, and they know the teachers aren't going to do shit about it because they're bringing so much fame and whatever to the school, right? But when these guys come into the driver's ed class, his name was Mr. Cox. Mr. Cox would just talk.
Oh, God. His name was Cox. No wonder he had to become a fucking.
I know. It was C-O-X.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, it's still Cox.
He would just.
Multiple dicks.
He would just talk, and no one fucked around. Because even the
his aura,
even the football players just knew if it came down to it and we fucked around, this guy is going to beat our ass. Yeah. You know, so it was just like,
well, I think you carry yourself differently, too. You have this aura of like confidence, and you demand authority, like you have that presence.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just completely different. I think that's why like fucking bad guys will target certain people because they just know that they're defenseless. Fucking ugly ass bad guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just kind of where the state is right now, and just how, like, I don't know. This is why I try not to watch so much news, but just when I hear it and I get like little tidbits of what's happening in the world, it just sounds like everyone is against everyone and things are just falling apart. That it's like, fuck, who's going to protect you when some shit really hits the fan?
Yourself. You're responsible for your own safety. That's the first and foremost.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to, so like, I think like a lot of us are so ingrained in society that we definitely depend on like the firefighters and the ambulance and then the police, right? But those are products of society. When we're in an extremely disgruntled state and society has failed, you're not going to have those things.
Yeah, you don't.
You know, like those things only exist because you're like, hey, you know what? If you put like 5% of your income, I put 5% of your income. Are you down to like put a little fund where if any of our houses catch on fire, this guy comes and puts it out?
Right.
Right. That's because
we all agreed upon it. Yeah.
But when you're getting to a place where there's just like, you know, people are fucking flipping tables and shit and it's going crazy, like no one, you got to put your own fire out of your house.
Yeah.
And in your own safety is in your own responsibility.
Yeah. And it's such a simple concept to grasp, right? That it's like no one's going to rescue you but yourself. Like at the end of the day, yes, it's wishful thinking to be like my loved ones or whatever, but you don't know how they're going to react in a state of emergency. Like they might just freeze. I've seen people just not think. And I'm like, how do you just not think? But it's just, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
But I've seen it happen where I'm like, wait, these were the obvious steps. Like we were doing fine and you just stopped. Like what happened?
Yeah.
But the simple concept that I'm talking about is literally no one's going to protect you but yourself. Like no one's going to govern you but yourself. No one's going to parent you but yourself. Like it's nuts because it's like we're grown up or like we're brought up to be contributor or to contribute to this society, to this community, to this area, right? Like we're taught to be like interlinked somehow. And like you said, like we're taught to depend on like our firefighters and our, you know, our teachers and all these other forms of authorities or like experts in the field that we just go, oh, okay, so they're going to give us the answer and we just follow what they say. But the truth of the matter is you have to govern yourself. You have to parent yourself. You have to defend yourself because, again, who's going to do it for you? Like they're going to do that for themselves.
Yeah.
And if they can, they'll probably extend a hand, but who knows?
Yeah, that's one thing that I think like I'm really grateful that my mom taught me to be very independent as a young person, because you know how many people they're like, oh, my accountant screwed me over, or like my lawyer screwed me over. I thought I could trust them. But it's like you first and foremost have to be your own accountant. You right. have to be your own lawyer before you even hire right. someone. But there's like, but because since we're not taught to be that, like you're taught to just immediately be trusting, you literally hand everything over, but you have to be your own everything first and know how to utilize the other people around you.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that like, so I didn't even see it from that angle of like just shadiness. I just saw it from the angle of like people process information differently.
There's that too.
And I think that is something more that like, I'm like, for more reason, that's why you should be more equipped and more independent and more self-sufficient, because just everyone processes trauma and information and they take it all in completely differently than you, right? People have more fight or flight in them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that shady part of it, like I do agree, like you need to be on top of your own shit because no one's going to take care of your own shit more than you. Like that's one thing my mom always taught me. My mom's like, wait a minute. So you're telling me that I'm supposed to be thinking about your duties and your stuff and it's supposed to be as important to me as it is to you? Fuck no. Your shit is never as important to me as my own shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, that's true.
That's one thing that like I used to see my mom do. And I'm like, fuck, this is so fucking annoying. I would hate to like work with you. But I understand why. Like my mom would hire like a contractor to work on her house. And every day she would stop by the site and look at what things are done.
That's
right?
Great.
Like inspecting every single thing. And I'm like, how fucking annoying. Like, I'm like, I was annoyed. I'm like, just trust them. They're going to do a good job. But is he going to build your house the same way he's building his own house? Or no, is he going to build a house the same way he's building it for his kids?
Yeah, probably not.
It's way different, you know? So you, yeah. even though you're hiring them, you got to be your own contractor first to yeah. make sure they're doing it to the way that you want it.
And that's the shit I'm talking about where I want to be more elevated, where I see it that way, where I'm more about, hey, it's my shit. I need to be on top of it. Like,
have more ownership.
Exactly. Like, I'm decent. Like, I feel like I'm either average or above average when it comes to that. But I want more of that. Mm. Like, I don't want to be on autopilot so much. And I don't want to be dependent on, you know, exterior forces yeah. to, like, come to the rescue. Because at the end of the day, like, you might not be around. That's you know? True. And as much as I lean in on you and I love that. And it's very comforting to know that, you know, I have a partner that can
literally do everything.
No, no, you can't do everything.
I can.
But
yeah, I can.
At least you can like protect me for a little bit.
For a lot, 24 hours.
Yeah. So thanks for like having me feel safe like a little bit.
All the time.
But I don't think it's even fair to you for me to like rely on you so heavily like that.
How many times have your titties been squeezed by someone outside of me?
Do you want the honest answer?
Yeah.
A lot.
No, I don't think so.
Especially chicks. They're always grabbing my titties.
I think I protected you so well that no guys have come randomly to squeeze your titties. That's how safe you are with me.
Really? Because they hit on me all the time and you think it's funny.
They don't squeeze them?
And I don't feel safe.
But they don't squeeze them.
Yeah, but that's not what makes me feel safe.
What makes you feel safe?
I don't even want them talking to me.
Well, guess what? They're not going to.
Well, now, because I just told you, but I haven't felt safe in a long time. So you haven't been doing your job. Nice. And with that silence, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast because this fool just got moated. And I do want to say thank you to our sponsors.